That's it.
That's all, just one step at a time, because when you're in alignment with your assignment, come on now.
Yes, 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 yes. I said we're in alignment today when I started this. I said we can be more in alignment with you today.
Let's go.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hey everybody, I'm Andrea Green with Think LA and welcome to Wellness Wednesday, where we strive to promote the importance of your life's wellness journey, both mentally and physically, at home and at work, with quick affirmations and messages to help you get through your day. Now, with May being Mental Health Awareness Month, Wellness Wednesday could not be more aligned with the messaging and goal of our guests today. As we discuss today's topic, breaking the stigma, navigating mental health in the advertising industry. We are so happy and honored to introduce you to James Kinney, Global Chief People Officer at Media Monks and founder of Advertising Alliance for Mental Health, AMH. And as Adweek has dubbed him, the ad industry's therapist. James, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. Amazing to be here. This is cool. Thank you. And that was quite an honor to receive that distinguishment from Adweek.
Well, you know what? It's amazing kind of what you're doing, just everything that's happening. And I kind of want to start off too by just having you tell us a little bit about your personal mental health journey and why Adweek said, you know, we need to talk to this man. And tell us about your struggle with anxiety and agoraphobia too, when you worked on Wall Street, because I know that could not have been easy.
No, it wasn't. Andrea, thank you so much for the opportunity. It's been great to get to know you personally and Don, as well as the Think LA community, because it's been several years that I've been on this journey. But yeah, you know, the short of it is that our industry, before it was at all things digital, we had physical publications. I'm 45 years old. So about 15 years ago, I was in ad sales on Wall Street. And, you know, my job was to cold call marketing directors and marketing folks from around the world and sell them publications. Well, we had quotas to meet and lots of stress and pressure in this particular workplace environment. But in addition to just the regular stress and pressure of the job, what I didn't know at that point, when a lot of people turn 30, there's a big stigma associated about who you should be and where you should be in life. And what I know now about mental health is that it's never just one thing. There's a culmination of hereditary factors, environmental factors, and life traumas in certain situations that evoke things in all of us. And this is a regular human condition. You know, so you hear stats like 1 out of 5 people. I say, no, 5 out of 5 people go through something in their life at some point, right? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, at that point in my life, I really wasn't educated and didn't have the language and the tools that we now offer free to so many people. So after years of training myself and working with thousands and thousands of employees that I've now served, that's really what got me here to the journey today. So in particular, I was diagnosed with an extreme form of anxiety called agoraphobia. For those of you who may not know, it's essentially you're trapped in your safe space. And it's an extreme fear of irrational things that might happen. An airplane might fall out of the sky. If you fear that a bus will hit you, or kind of things that we say like that jokingly in the workplace, a person with agoraphobia actually believes that it's real, that if they step outside, a bus may hit them or the sky may fall. So for me personally, it was correlated to bodily issues, that I would have a panic attack, which I had panic disorder as well. So I was pretty deep in it. And it took me about 3 years, based off of a holistic path that I worked on with a psychologist, therapist, and about 50 books,
wow,
the church, and everything else that you can imagine,
yeah,
that really helped me rebuild my life. And I wouldn't wish it upon anybody. I missed birthdays. I missed a lot of special events in life because I was living in fear.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be my next question. How did that struggle impact your relationships and life outside of work? I just can't even imagine, you know, how difficult that must have been.
Yeah. I remember, there was a time when I didn't go out on a date or even have a date in over a year. Mm-hmm. And I remember one thing in particular that was really impactful to me, and it was dark and it was sad. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we would get like a half Friday off, you know, like we do normal in the ad industry. And I remember I went to go get a massage because I hadn't had physical touch with another human being in so long.
Wow.
And I remember a colleague of mine said, James, have a good weekend. And they gave me a hug. And I remember the feeling of an intentional hug with care.
Right.
Versus a massage therapist.
Mm.
And when you talk about despair, isolation and loneliness, which has only exacerbated in the 15 years since I had my condition as to where we are now, when we talk about this epidemic of loneliness, I know firsthand, and I can be stereotyped in a number of ways: tall, articulate, chief people officer, Black,
right,
whatever, from Texas. There's lots of intersectionality with all of us, right?
Yes.
But we have to be really mindful to not look at someone and say, oh, she's beautiful, or she's smart, or he's a big shot. Loneliness impacts all of us. So that was one of many things I could tell you about how lonely and how much despair I was.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. That is such a personal part of your journey. And I think that's why this makes it all the more important with what you're doing right now. I mean, it's no secret that so many of us face mental health challenges daily. Like you said, 5 out of 5, it's not 1 out of 5. There's so many of us who are going through stuff silently and nobody's talking about it, or they're feeling like, I can't talk about it, or whatever their journey might be. And that's one of the reasons that I do Wellness Wednesday, honestly, to try to help people as much as I can, even if it's only for a minute and a half, just a little something like, you're okay, you're good, you are enough. It's all right. Whatever you're going through, if you need some help, reach out. It's okay. You know, and I think that's really important. Tell me specifically about the mental health challenges that you see in the advertising industry. What are some of the things in particular, how this industry glorifies something we know as the hustle culture?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, first of all, thank you for being a beacon and having these Wellness Wednesdays. The ad industry absolutely glorifies hustle culture. All-nighters, weekends are a regular practice.
Yes.
Exempt, since I am an HR person, an exempt knowledge worker typically has no boundaries. And we've made it a regular practice, whether it be email, Slack, the smartphone. And it used to be a lot more in office. I remember at a certain agency that I worked at, you know, we just had we asked the CFO, oh yeah, no problem. You know, you're at the office till 10, then we'll pay for you a car service on the way home.
Wow.
And you get dinner. And interesting thing, now that I've managed populations in the excess of 10,000 plus, you see how one financial decision or one policy can actually encourage behavior. So I think what we didn't realize, and I definitely will get back to burnout, adrenal fatigue, and kind of the scientific specifics, but I remember this, what we learned after we had those policies is that it actually encouraged some people to, you know, I'm gonna have all my meetings all day.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna take a break, whatever. I'm gonna start working at 6. I'm going to get the dinner and then I'm going to take the car service home. Right. But these are 16, 17, 18 hour days.
Yeah.
People are working because we've designed kind of these incentives.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you look at everything from con lions to the heavy, the awards that are associated with our industry as well, I think that we've definitely incentivized a margin compression from a financial perspective, a homogenous practice, meaning big, you know, in terms of the size of the organization, so that there's more value for the client, right? So those are kind of the systematic things that have happened within our industry. And you can actually track it and look at it, you know, decade to decade to decade, to see the differences that have occurred. But in particular, from a scientific standpoint, you know, adrenal fatigue, which is basically the same thing as burnout. Burnout is just a more comprehensive way to discuss. I really feel this is the number one issue right now. And that's why I've started the Beat Burnout Challenge that I know that we'll talk about. But yeah. Burnout is really complex in that it shows up different for every single person. Mm-hmm. But the simplest way to say it is, if your cortisol levels, which is a stress hormone, are very high, and you're in a high adrenal state, on edge and full of anxiety all the time based off the anticipation of an email, a text, a Slack message, coupled with workload, that you're always in this mode of very high performance, it's very difficult to come down, meaning sleep, meaning mindfulness, meaning peace of mind, meaning calmness. And the simplest way to say it is that human beings were not built to be in a high adrenal state in excess. You can actually Google this on your own for the folks at home that are watching and listening. And you can look up what are some of the most stressful jobs in America. Huh? Advertising is literally in the top 10 with air traffic controllers.
What?
With firemen and women, 100%.
Wow, I did not even realize that. Sometimes yeah. You just do stuff because you just do it and it becomes your norm. You know what I mean? And sometimes you don't even realize, wait, that's not what everybody does. Everybody doesn't work this way and work all these hours and no. they don't eat as well. And the things that are necessary for us to really be productive, good humans for ourselves, not for everybody else, but for ourselves. We need to take care of ourselves. And sometimes we just lose so much sight of that. We really do.
Yeah. I mean, think about from an adrenal perspective, anyone who's been on a pitch, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it would be different if you did one pitch like a month.
Yeah.
That's still a lot, once every 2 months. But typically we don't staff our agencies with pitch teams that are dedicated to only pitching. So you're doing your day job and you're in a pitch at the same time. That is a 70-hour week easy because you're doing your changes and edits every single weekend until you get to the pitch date. Clients haven't helped because they say, I'd love to see something in 6 weeks. In 3 weeks.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's supposed to be realistic is really unrealistic in some points of time. You know, where you're just really killing yourself sometimes, and it is all about that burnout. You know, that you think is just what you're supposed to be doing. You know, and it's just
You know, I remember I worked for a CEO, and they were very articulate on a lot of the change within the advertising industry does need to come from client side in order to have the sustainability of the industry itself.
Okay.
So if the brands continue to put 2 week timelines, 3 week timelines on pitches and the pitch process itself, again, a lot of it stems from that. There's other things that I think we could do holistically within the industry to help our people, but certainly client side, we live by the client. But I do think that there's some things that we could look at, again, for the sustainability for the industry at large.
Thank you for that. How do you find that this hustle culture that we're talking about is affecting BIPOC and other marginalized groups like women?
Mm-hmm. Well, what we know from the data and the science is that the stress is the stress. The issues are the issues. But within certain populations, it's exacerbated by lived experience. Mm-hmm. And that is very real.
Yeah.
And what I mean by exacerbated by lived experience, if you think about something like the murder of George Floyd or the latest mass shooting or Holocaust deniers or don't say gay laws, I can go on and on and on and on. Attacks on an AAPI community, the horror and the tragedy doesn't stop. Yeah. But in particular, imagine that you're, person X in the ad industry. You already have your 50-hour week and you're in a pitch. Then the gentleman in Memphis is murdered by the police. And you can see yourself in the person that was murdered by the police or the woman in San Francisco that was attacked on the street. Mm-hmm. And the way that humans work, we see ourselves in other people. Mirror neurons are what those call, right? That we're able to see ourselves in other people, mimic behaviors.
Yes.
So from an everyday lived experience perspective, if you are LGBTQ+, Black, single white female, single white male, I mean, it doesn't stop in terms of what lived experience means, but these instances are exacerbated by certain populations when there's triggers, right? Which is the proper scientific way to talk about it, that there's a stress trigger, an anxiety trigger that is associated with a certain event and the way that the person sees the world. So that's the way to explain it kind of scientifically, now that I've spent the past 15 years becoming an expert in mental health. Mm-hmm. But the simplest way to say it is, you're throwing kerosene on what's already a burning fire.
Yes.
It's already hard enough Yes. Then try to be a Black woman and have a baby in a hospital and the doctor is not listening or they ignore your symptoms of pain. It's very real.
It is a very real thing. Very real thing.
Yeah.
I am a mother. I have Black son, Black daughters, and I understand the conversations I have to have are different than others might have to have just being a BIPOC mother, a BIPOC person, you know, and as my children grow up in this world, some of the things that they see and view from different eyes, you know, is how they see. And when they walk out into the world is very different. And the conversation that we talk about, you know, way back when with Trayvon, no, you can't wear your hoodies outside. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. No. And explain that to my teenager, my 12 or 13 year old son, and him saying, "Well, mom, it's just a hoodie. What are you talking about? Why?"
But it's not. Yeah, it's not just. It's not just a hoodie.
It is.
There's cultural artifact. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Thank you for that. Thank you for that perspective. And just, you know, and you know, we need to hear that sometimes to really remember, you know, what you don't necessarily walk in people's shoes. But just to remember to think that, you know, how they do happen and how people do view things. So thank you for that.
Yeah, of course. You know, just to add to that real quick, I think that we're at a very interesting place where thank you for facilitating an open conversation, because I think when we're in fear of having an honest conversation that says that a hoodie actually means X.
Yes.
From an unconscious bias perspective, it's science. I'm actually not biased in the science that I'm saying. We're able to talk about it in a much more open, and it's not about this is racist or that is that or that is that. I try to rise above it and say, listen, this is actual human behavior and this is culture.
Yes.
And we need to have more open conversations where people can be further educated because you fear what you do not know.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And that's kind of as simple as it is, but it doesn't have to be this big, you know, CNN, Fox, MSNBC. Okay. Salacious issue. Like, we can just actually talk about it from a community perspective.
Yes, people just have to be willing to hear it and be open to the conversation, whether or not you agree or whatever the case. I mean, just be willing to listen and to have the conversations. You know, I've always said for years and years with my kids, you have to get uncomfortable to get comfortable. Sometimes you have to have those conversations, and I know people say that, but that's something that we live by. You know, you have to in order to keep pushing forward and work in the world that we live in. So
yeah. Important. To bring it back to mental health and psychology, so there's something called symbolic convergence theory. And symbolic convergence is very real, and it's something that we're all going through as an industry, meaning that we're languishing in this loop of tragedy and uncertainty. And then when you combine mass media with social media, I call it the hypermedia cycle, and it really informs how a person sees themselves in the world, and that's the symbolic convergence. A person starts to see symbols of death, of destruction, of non-psychological safety. So this is almost like the layered mental health issue that even is on top of burnout. It's almost, the analogy would be climate change. If we don't fully understand the atmosphere and how it works, and you can't see greenhouse gases, but it's there. It's similar to that. It's tough to go into a specific agency, right, within the advertising industry and say, oh, well, no, that's not real. Yet you may not be able to see it, but the symbolic convergence, gun violence in particular, would be one of those things that's converging symbolically, right, which makes a person feel unsafe. And that's applicable to any definition of human being within the ad industry, male, female, whatever. That is a symbolic convergence of unsafety, non-safety, which is anxiety, panic, fear, stress.
Thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you. Now, listen, I want to talk to you about this wonderful program, the Alliance for Mental Health.
Yeah.
We developed this to really help people navigate overcoming stress in the workplace. I think just in life in general too, you know. So I want you to tell me so much about it. Tell us about an overview of the program and how this platform really helps to combat the glorification of all the stuff we've been talking about, the hustle culture and burnout and things of that sort.
Yeah, you know, so when I think back 15 years ago and I became a chief people officer, well, I started with just being like a regular director of people and I worked my way up. I didn't want people to have the same experience that I did. And when I looked at my journey, the only way that I was able to be a stable, functioning, lots of tax paying adult. a lot of taxes.
Yeah, I feel you.
It's through a proactive approach to mental health and being very educated and deciphering, you know, kind of the cheat codes, as we would say, you know, demystifying it from its science origins, because it's super intimidated. And like I said it recently in my one-man show, if you just Google mental health, it's going to pop right up. It's going to look scary. It's going to be all kind of drugs. You're going to think you're going to the crazy hospital.
Yes.
I mean, if you Google it, you think you're going to go 0 to 100 real quick. Mm-hmm. We haven't created a social fabric for people to have a psychologically safe space to communicate. So I started Advertising Alliance for Mental Health, the idea of it 18 months ago. It was a long time ago because I, you know, my day job is big. Mm-hmm. So I started with recording 52 weekly affirmations, which are breathing exercises, meditations, just a very simple way to start a week for someone. Mm-hmm. And then after I recorded all the affirmations, then I recorded my first 3 courses. And then, you know, time goes, I'm working. And then I said, well, how do I build this into a platform that really makes sense for people? I literally was so lucky that advertisingmentalhealth.com was available. And I was like, what? That domain's available? So I bought advertisingmentalhealth.com, which was like a miracle.
Yes.
And then I found a platform about how to house it together. I started to do like anything that we would do in the ad industry. I got creative. I worked with an executive creative director, copywriters. I did all the things that we would do. And then I hired a publicist. I started partnering with people like you. And then, you know, I was fortunate enough to launch it, but it took 18 months mm-hmm. to get to the place where I was like, okay, this is a thing now. I'm the founder of the Advertising Alliance for Mental Health. So it's kind of a truth, even when I say it, because it's just like regularly me doing what I would normally do. But I think it's really dope that we've made history because it didn't exist.
Wow. And that's amazing that it didn't exist, right?
Right. It did not exist. Advertisingmentalhealth.com did not exist. Literally a mental health platform for advertising professionals did not exist.
Crazy.
There's roughly 300,000 people working in the advertising, just what we would say traditional advertising industry in the US alone. Yeah. 750,000 globally. It did not exist.
Amazing. And that's why I want to work with you. I'm telling you, I want to do everything I can to help in this whole platform.
Thank you.
I'm so excited for it. How is this going to address the specific needs of business professionals? And is there anything specific to BIPOC and marginalized groups within those business professionals?
Yeah. So a couple of different ways. So everyone, it's absolutely free. There's no charge. I really believe in that. I think at some point we'll create a certification program for agencies. And we can charge agencies and that'll kind of fund the war, but it'll always be free for people, right? Yes. So weekly affirmation and meditation that comes to your email box every single Monday, unlimited on-demand courses. And the courses that we started with is learn about stress at work, learn about mental health, learn about anxiety at work. And then this month, because it's May, Mental Health Awareness Month, we have 3 new courses launching. One in particular for our AAPI in Asian American community. So that's a brand new course. Mental health in men, brand new course, because men, we don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And mental health for women. So we have 3 new courses launching. I just got the mixes back 2 days ago. So we're going to be uploading those 3 new courses. So there's ongoing updated content always of free courses that people can take. They're basically like podcasts, under 20 minutes, so quick and simple. You can listen to them on your phone while you're walking, on the subway, on the train, on the plane. So I designed the courses like that for a reason. So they're just super simple and just super down to earth. And then should be later this month or next month, we're going to start the group community coaching calls. And this is with licensed therapists, mental health coaches, and experts that the entire community is invited to come and have a big Zoom and you'll have someone who's an expert on burnout or an expert on stress or whatever, give a talk about that. The community can ask questions live. So this is kind of like a free large group therapy session. Mm-hmm. I'm working with a web developer out of the UK right now to launch a live community section within the site. So within that, there'll be topics like sleep and sleeping at night. And then, you know, be threads and conversations about tips for sleep and things like that. Panic attacks, depression. So that way we can get kind of granular on the topics. I hope to have all that out maybe by end of June, I think, realistically, in terms of the community. So I'm doing all this on top of my day job. I do have a lot of help and a lot of people that are like interested in helping, but I have to be mindful of looking after me in this process too. But I have hired a full-time publicist, and that's been great that he can do some of the community management, continue to get the word out, and then partnerships like this with Think LA help take it to where we're trying to go.
Yes, it's amazing. You are doing some big, amazing, awful things and just doing it. So just proud and happy to hear about all of that. So I've heard of something called your 6-week Beat Burnout Challenge. What is this?
Yeah. So the Beat Burnout Challenge can be taken at any time. May is a good time to do it, though. Okay. Essentially, it's a special course that I created that takes the listener through, again, quick little 15, 20 minute courses, but it's built in 6 weeks in sequence because it's designed for neuroscience and behavior change. Okay. And it takes you through everything from tactile sensory, meaning using your hands for different things other than the phone. We probably don't have time to talk about it today, but again, I've been studying this for 15 years now, and I know quite a bit. I went back to UCLA and studied neuroscience as part of my professional development. So a lot of it is about rewiring your tactile sensory. We have social media detox days that are included in the challenge, moving your body, creativity, coloring, putting your hands in the sand, beach cleanups, community connections, all the things that I know that are designed in order to get a person re-engaged in life.
Yes.
And out of the burnout loop.
Yes. Yes.
Right. So the Beat Burnout Challenge is really thoughtfully created. You can do it by yourself. You can do it with another person. You can do it with a whole company, right? Like any agency X, Y, and Z can just say, dope, we're going to rock 100 employees and we're going to go through the Beat Burnout Challenge together. Like, I would love to see that.
I love that. That is amazing. Look at you just doing amazingly big things and for like the right reasons, which I'm just so happy about. So
thank you.
I just love it because I feel such a connection with what you're doing and how we're trying to, you know, to push out with Wellness Wednesday as well, to do those affirmations and to say you're okay and that you're enough and you can work on yourself and it can take baby steps and give yourself some grace. You know what I mean? Because it's okay that you're going through what you're going through. And for me, it feels like you have this master plan to take, you know, AMH to the next level.
I do.
Yeah. And like community driven and volunteer led initiatives and stuff of that sort.
It's so funny. A couple people have asked me, so like, well, what's the catch and what's the deal? And I was like, well, what do you mean? They're like, well, you know, with the company, with the agency. And I said, listen, I've been around long enough to know the following. When we get to 10,000 members, it's going to feel different. Mm-hmm. And we will know because the community will tell us. When we get to 25,000, it's going to hit different. And the community will tell us. When we reach 100,000 people, it'll hit really different.
Yes.
And the community will tell us. So respectfully to the person that said that to me, I said, I don't need to know. All I need to do is follow my purpose and stick with the vision and it'll take care of itself. But most people try to put up blocks and try to analyze it. They're like, well, where's the paywall? I was like, I'm not worried about the paywall. The yields, and I noticed that you use the word grace. So I'm vibing with you because you know where I'm going with this.
I do.
okay. But I'm like, I don't need to know. I'm just gonna follow the plan.
That's it.
And the rest is gonna do. It's gonna take care of itself.
We'll just say the universe will make it so. That's it.
That's all. Just one step at a time. Because when you're in alignment with your assignment. Come on now.
Yes. I said we're in alignment today when I started this. I said we cannot be more in alignment with you today, James.
Let's go.
Yes. This is, like I said, this is a master plan. And I love that you said when we hit 10,000, when we hit 50,000, when we hit 100,000, like
you gotta say it.
Not if, when we hit that. That's what's going to happen.
So let me remind the audience of something. When I was having panic attacks and I could barely keep a job and food in my mouth, I had to say, when I no longer have anxiety, when I'm able to make money again, when I'm able. So this is not new for me, right? You're built different when you're a survivor. Yes, you see what I'm saying? So this path and clarity of when I'm on the other side of this, the only thing that I had to hang on to is I knew deep down inside with the faith of a mustard seed, come on now, that one day my life would be better again. I didn't know it would take 3 years.
Yep.
But that's what it was for me. But I had faith the entire time. And it's the only thing that got me through. So 15 years later, nothing has changed. That's right. Yeah. When 25,000 people, when we get to 50, when we get to 75, I know how it works now.
Yes, that's it. That's it. And you know, that's so much about, you know, what you're doing, about how we at Wellness Wins, your thing. Well, you got to have faith in yourself. You know, you have to, because before anybody else will have that faith in you got to have it in yourself. And that's it. You got to like put your mindset to the point where you just go, you know what? If I'm going to make it, this is what I have to do. And that's what I do. And I got to just push through, over, under, around, whatever you need to do to get to that point. That's good. I think is what's so important about all the wonderful, amazing knowledge that you have dropped on us today. Let me just tell you, I've learned a whole bunch in this conversation today, and it has been amazing. I would love to know what advice you'd like to give to our listeners, especially those at the beginning of their careers who might have big dreams, you know, to make it really far in this industry, but they feel that whole pressure of, you know, what could be happening with the hustle thing and with the burnout and whatever else that might just really be feeling like this closing in on them. What good advice would you give to them?
You actually said it. I'm going to say it very concisely. Pressure is an illusion. Mm.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Most of us are operating at a deficit when we were born whole. Mm-hmm. There's no need to operate from a deficit. You may not be at the job title that you eventually want. You may not be at the money that you eventually want, living in the city that you eventually want. But pressure is an illusion. Always remember that as long as you can take another breath, then you have an opportunity to accomplish whatever it is that you so wish. I am living proof. I was sleeping on a couch in Brooklyn, New York, off Myrtle and Broadway, J Train. I am now the global chief people officer of a $1 billion business.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that's the truth.
Yes, absolutely.
That's the truth. And I grew up a stuttering child. Now I'm a motivational speaker. I was agoraphobic, trapped in my apartment.
Yeah.
And I'm literally here speaking to you now.
Yes.
So, but I am one of millions of people. I'm not special. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that I'm special. What I'm saying is I hope that I'm just a reminder that no matter where a person is in their process, it is very real.
It is very real. It is very real. I love that you said that pressure is an illusion. I'm just going to share a little bit of a personal. My son is an amazing young man, and he is in college right now. And he said, I want to be a therapist. I'm a Black male therapist. How about that? We love that. He has a tattoo on his arm that says pressure builds diamonds.
Yes.
Pressure builds diamonds. Yeah. And I could not be proud of that. And just the thought process behind and why and how, you know, it's just amazing to me. So I just love it. So, you know, James, I think the bottom line here, you are here to help in a place where help is so needed. And for a place that had been so stigmatized, you know what I mean? And I just thank you for just being a voice and just a part of the ongoing solution, because it is ongoing. It's not just like fix today, tomorrow. It's an ongoing solution to help break the silence and to help people navigate for success, because that's what we want eventually. And that's what we want for people to succeed, right? To be able to like say, I can talk about it. This is happening to me. And if I can help somebody else, that's what I want to do. And that's what I hope to do whenever I have conversations. If there's something I say, one little thing, one little movement, anything to help you move, that's what I think your whole movement is about. And I appreciate that.
That's it. Yeah. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I love to see people win and grow.
Yes. So thank you again. And with everything that you've all heard today, and for James speaking here, I hope that you guys will all try and incorporate at least one new mental or spiritual wellness practice into anything that you do this week. It's so important, because you know that we always ask that of you in each and every episode of Wellness Wednesday. I always say that do something for yourself, help yourself, because it is so necessary for your well-being. It really is. As James has talked about today, it really is. Again, thank you, James. And thank you to everybody for tuning in today. James's contact information and any links, especially to AMH, are all going to be in our site and on our socials. And James, if you have anything else that you want to add, is there anything else you want to add today? You good?
Thank you. That's it.
Okay. Then perfect. So to everybody else, I hope that you continue to or start to follow Think LA and Wellness Wednesday on Instagram and on our other socials, and that you listen to our podcast, because James is going to be on that podcast, and also on our YouTube channel for other great interviews and conversations. And I always say, in this present moment, be well, be safe, be kind. And remember, you are more than enough. Thank you, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.